it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jacobs to the right side of Love in the shotgun slot left. And faking the handoff, Love rolls right, throws end zone.
Oh, he's
Tucker
got him.
Kraft, touchdown! And a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stands. They beat Will Harris on a beautiful play fake by Jordan Love. Tucker Kraft, 8 yard, touchdown reception.
Thank you to the Packers Radio Network. That was Jordan Love to Tucker Kraft, who apparently had more receiving yards by a tight end for Green Bay than anyone in 10 years. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. That was a fun nugget. 2015, the last time a tight end for Green Bay had that many yards.
Was that Robert Tonyan?
No, it was the Richard Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers to Richard Rodgers.
Welcome to the show. Green Bay, the big winners last night, 27-18 over the Commanders, Pearl. And, you know, my big takeaway from this game, first and foremost, above all else, is this Packers defense is just so good. I mean, the Micah Parsons trade, and I'm sorry for our fans in Dallas, it looks like you guys lost this one. And I know that that's been controversial, and I know there are a lot of people in Dallas who said good riddance and get him out of here, and Jerry Jones is back on his, you know, back on his game. It's not that way. Or maybe Micah was just the perfect addition here, because that was my biggest takeaway. Jaden Daniels did not look like the offensive rookie year and a future MVP last night because of the pressure that Green Bay got on him.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you actually bring, I'm not seeing the tape, as the faux experts say, but Jaden Daniels, he didn't do anything wrong. He had 2 seconds to throw at best.
Yep.
Yeah, I totally agree. The Micah Parsons that you thought you saw in Dallas last year dominating was there last night. Incredible how fast he revved up here. Back to the Dallas thing. Like, I don't think he was... I think he's much more valuable to the Packers than he is to the Cowboys. The Cowboys with Micah Parsons are at best a wild card team. Now, Micah Parsons is obviously seems like the missing piece on a Super Bowl team. He was incredible, and he caused so many problems for that Washington offensive line every single play.
Yeah. I mean, they could not block. And they could not block for Jaden Daniels, that Washington offensive line. You had rookie tackles on both sides, too, and they were kind of both getting a little bit abused at times. But see, yeah. Here's the thing, though, why I can't let Jerry off the hook is because what did you just say? Green Bay, this is the perfect defense for Micah Parsons to go in and be a finishing piece. Well, Jerry's been drafting first-round picks on defense also. I think they just picking
either. No, he hasn't.
Yeah.
He's been drafting linemen.
Well,
Lyman. Three linemen named Tyler in three straight drafts.
How about Mazzie Smith? What is he? How did Idigizua get here? I mean, you have high draft picks, maybe not all exactly first rounders, but first and second high round draft picks who you've been putting on the defensive side of the ball. And the fact that you have this talent in Micah Parsons, who has come in and at least for now, looked very, very stout and very much helping the rest of the defense. Like they talked about it ad nauseum last night, almost too much, about how much he helps out Rashawn Gary.
Well, I would think it's, you know, it's funny. Green Bay famously was overdrafting defense when Aaron Rodgers was there. They would not draft a receiver for this dude. And what did it amount to? Nothing. The defense was always fell short in the big moments. Now all those first-round picks look great because of Micah Parsons. All of a sudden, Rashawn Gary's unstoppable. All of a sudden, Lucas Van Ness is in the defensive backfield. I know Edgerrin Cooper was at a first-round pick. Quay Walker looks awesome. So he has sort of gotten the best. They have more first-round picks on defense than probably any team in the league. I can't imagine that there's a team with more first-round picks, and they're all at their peak now because Micah Parsons is drawing so much attention. So that's why I think he's more valuable to Green Bay. It's amazing that we turned this into a Dallas story, but I get exactly where you're going. And because Micah was awesome.
Yeah, it's like hard not to always have that in the back of your mind. They were even showing, you know, somebody had written something outside the stadium, thank you, Jerry, you know, and Jerry Jones's picture on it. And, you know, it's just this is what happens also when you do trade somebody with that much value inside your conference and somebody who you have a long history of playoff matchups against, right? Like if they had traded Micah Parsons, you know, to the Raiders, or I know they played each other in the 70s, but like if you had traded them to the AFC or something like that, I don't think it continues to be this referendum. But can I also point out something else about the defense? And you're welcome to weigh in at 888-710 for ISN. We've seen this Packers offense be like a vertical offense, right? Like they will take any shot at any time. It is a very vertical passing game. You know, they have the balance of the run with Josh Jacobs, but you know, Jordan Love doesn't scramble a ton. He's in there throwing darts down the field, and it just makes it so much more. They can take those kind of shots because the defense, they know, is going to always keep them in the game and give them a chance. Like, I was surprised. I know they're a vertical offense, so I guess I wasn't that shocked. But, you know, they will take a shot at any time. And I think they feel like this offense can really move around, spread out. I know they lost Jaden Reed last night, which stinks, to a collarbone. But it was like, what a luxury for your offense that you can take all these shots because the defense is there to back you up.
Well, would you say they're a vertical offense?
Yeah.
I mean, they're a run-first offense, though, primarily. I mean,
what did it look like last night?
I mean, Josh Jacobs had 23 carries.
No, I know, but what were they doing to Marshawn Lattimore? I mean, they...
Yes, when they do pass, like Jordan Love is going super deep this year. That's totally true. But this is a team that will, you know, the score was a lot closer than it should have been, right?
Exactly.
But that's because the Packers, because LaFleur's natural tendency is to control the game on the ground. And honestly, like, if they had taken more vertical shots, they probably could have been up by more. They're not really a team that they want to get this little. Here's the pattern. They get this lead early, and then they sit on it with a run game. That's why the two final scores have been deceivingly close.
Yeah.
I don't think LaFleur is. I don't think he wants to open up this offense at all. I think he's generally a cautious guy.
I mean, during the first half, Jordan Love was averaging 11 yards per pass, and he ended the game averaging 8 yards per pass. I mean, just to give you a flip side, Jaden Daniels was averaging 4 yards a pass.
But
they were going not vertical. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders were going, they could not get anything going in the pass game.
Yeah, but I mean, right, you're totally right, and that's in part the way the Washington was playing them on defense. But they ended up throwing the ball 31 times and handing it off 30 times. That's what makes this Green Bay team, because what's the key to defense? I always say this. Having a run game.
Sure,
like your offensive run game, if you can control the ball and let this defense stay fresh and unload on the quarterback, that's a Super Bowl formula.
No doubt. I guess I'm just saying, yes, they are having a balance in terms of attempts, but not all attempts are created equal, right? Like Jordan Love and the Packers offense are attempting on the offense is these deeper throws, deeper routes, trying to go for more. And it's funny because they weren't really drawing as many penalties as you might think. But I think that's because some of the receivers are young and maybe some of those corners were a little shifty. I don't know.
By the way, what about this receiving core? Have you ever seen like 8 receivers who are interchangeable? Like, I don't even know. It's like, wait, was that Xavier Williams? Was that Jaden Reed, unfortunately, got hurt?
Yeah,
was
Dontavian Wicks.
Dontavian Wicks.
Yeah.
Matthew Golden.
Has no Dobbs because he has a big helmet.
Yeah, Dobbs has got the big protective helmet.
But the funny thing is Matthew Golden does nothing. He got open long once, but he has done absolutely zero since he got there. To finally take a wide receiver in the first round and he doesn't even produce. It's so funny because they have this. Remember, okay, we're doing this thing, this King of the Mountain, the best team ever.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you can still vote on. Week 2, King of the Mountain, 1972 Dolphins versus the 1978 Steelers. Go ahead.
The Miami Dolphins had the no-name defense where basically they had 11 guys who were awesome. The Packers have the no-name wide receiver core where they have 7 non-stars who all play exactly the same and run around and they do the end arounds. I really like this receiving core. It's a receiving core that has been criticized a lot. For one thing, they can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Christian Watson, their 1A, presumably, is never on the field. But now, I don't know if you know who to cover. Then they hit you with Tucker Kraft, the tight end. It's challenging. Like, who do you focus on? It's almost impossible.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, you see some teams doing this, right? Where they'd rather just have a lot of guys than one guy. And we'll see when they get to Golden and if he needs to be, you know, he's got his whole career in front of him. If he ends up being like a highly paid or if any of these guys end up getting highly paid, I know they gave Watson a little bit of a bump.
Matthew Golden, 2 catches in 2 games.
I mean, give him a minute, right?
Yeah, no, he looks great too. That's the way that he just blew by the safety last night. By the way,
why was this game a 1-score game in the fourth quarter?
It's like, because it's LaFleur. He just pulls it. Why was it Detroit 27-13? That should have been 40-7.
No, I know. And I know they got, you know, at one point they got stalled in the first half with a bad penalty that kind of ruined a drive. You know, the kicker missed a field goal, the doinks last night. I understand, but they actually were 3-for-4 in the red zone, according to the box score. It's just such an odd thing. Like, I want to say, hands down, Green Bay, not just Super Bowl team, but like, looks like they've got the formula and everything. But the one thing that's in the back of my mind is, are they going to be able to put good teams away?
Well, okay, I'll say one thing about it. This is two games at home. Do not discount, like, Lambeau, Washington on a short week, they're doing this whiteout thing, and the fans are all dressed in white, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's a hard environment. I mean, like, short week.
One-score game in the fourth quarter. I never felt like Washington had a chance,
but
it was a one-score game.
But they're not going to dominate everybody like this. I mean, that was a particularly tough situation. I'm just saying they're not going to – they outgained them like 2-1.
Yeah,
that is
not funny because they ran the same number of plays.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, they trust me, like last night, you could tell, how soon did you guys know that game was over? I probably knew in the first quarter. I'm like, oh, this is not good. Well, they could not block Micah Parsons. So Jaden Daniels took about 900 hits last night, too. I'm like, I almost feel like, go to the backup. You're not going to win the game. Why are you letting Jaden Daniels get hit by Micah Parsons time and time again?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels took some hits. A couple other guys were lost for Washington yesterday. Dietrich Wise gets carted off the field. Austin Ekeler now has an Achilles.
Luckily, yeah. I mean,
they rely a lot on older guys. We knew this, and this is one of the reasons why I faded Washington going into this year. They look fine, but like you're relying a lot on Deebo Samuel and Zach Ertz on offense. They do look great, but are they going to hold up for a whole season?
Well, they're not relying on Austin Ekeler at all.
Well, he's probably gone.
He's done nothing. So that, by the way, I love Austin Ekeler, but that is not a huge loss because that should be Bill Kroski Merritt's job 100% of the time. He's got twice the burst of Ekeler.
Yeah.
And then Dietrich Wise, I wasn't super aware. I mean, he's on a 1-year, $3 million deal. These injuries are not devastating. Noah Brown.
Dude, yeah, another one.
You got to catch the ball. Noah Brown, for a journeyman wide receiver, has been involved in some of the biggest dramas. And I remember he was the guy that Dak threw the pick to in the San Francisco playoff game. I think he had the Hail Mary catch. Last night, it seemed like he was in the middle of everything. I'm like, why aren't you throwing the ball to Terry McLaurin? He just paid $30 million a year. Everything's going to Noah Brown.
Yeah, it was an odd thing with Washington. And you're welcome to wait on Green Bay, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Are they your front runner Super Bowl contender?
I would say maybe
yes. Is that a weird
yes.
way to put
just
it?
Just remember, two games in Lambeau where they've looked dominant.
Yeah, and they have, what, five of the next six on the road?
Yeah, so... maybe revisit this in a month. I assume that defense will travel. And I assume actually Micah Parsons is even going to get in better game shape. So that all makes sense. I just wonder if they're going to dominate in this fashion.
Got to be honest. I was feeling like a little bit of a dope because I said, man, I faded the Commanders this year. A lot of one-score games, a lot of relying on guys on the wrong side of 30. You know, the oldest roster in the league, and man, I made a mistake. And then I watched the team last night, and I was like, I might have been onto something. And I thought that Dan Quinn did not have a good game either. There was some clock management stuff at the end of the first half where they were far too relaxed.
I like their strategy there. They knew they weren't getting any first down, so they tried to kill the clock.
But they have a kicker who, according to all the reporters in Washington, is not good from 50-plus.
Wow, they sure trotted him out there last night.
I know. And so I'm like, all right, but if the reporters know this, then obviously they know it. I was not really impressed with Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, and the entire operation. And, you know, Jaden Daniels had no time. Like, he was under duress, but he could not get loose. He was not able to run. There were not the signature big gains from him. And that was a tough, tough watch.
Sure that's not a function of Green Bay's defense, also shut down Detroit the week before.
That's fine. And then I'll go to the Commanders' defense was not good either. Like, on both sides of the ball, I thought they were very, very unimpressive.
Yeah, it's a four-day rest to go to Lambeau. Come on. I understand what you're saying.
This is a team that was in the NFC Championship last year. I think a lot of people believe they're going to pick up right where they left off. This was not... And they played Manny's Giants in the first game. Like, that's not a true test. Sorry, Manny, of what this is going to be.
But this is not a true test either.
This is the litmus test.
No,
of course
it is.
This
absolutely
is the true
not. 4-day rest to go to Green Bay after the first week of the season, and you really didn't do a preseason. That is not a litmus test. A litmus test was not week one and not week two. I just don't think you should overjudge what happened there last night on Washington's end.
I think it's fair because I think we believe that Washington was one of the upper echelon teams in the NFC where Jaden Daniels is like a tier two, but like borderline tier one quarterback. And you brought back a lot of the same guys.
I think the Packers would have killed the Eagles in that situation last night. They obviously killed the Lions. I think they would have killed the Niners. I don't think there was any NFC team who and 4 days rest was going in and winning that game. I'll be totally honest. I don't actually think there's any team in the NFL, even your Bills, maybe your Bills, maybe the Ravens, but I mean,
aren't we talking about the Commanders kind of in that class?
No. You're saying that they are in like the Ravens.
Super Bowl contender class?
No. I mean, did you see people pick Washington?
I thought a lot of people were high on Jaden Daniels for sure. And pleasantly surprised, obviously, what they did last year.
I think a lot of people have them in the playoffs, but I don't think that they're that Super Bowl tier. We know the tiers. The top tier is probably five teams. And I don't think it's surprising. Show me one person that picked Washington Commanders to win the Super Bowl. Everyone knew they're old. Like, they're good. And even last night, you could see if you squint, Jaden Daniels is a good quarterback.
Of course he is.
So you have that. That's all I could give you, Meg.
Yeah. I mean, they were hyping him up in that pregame. Like, we were talking yesterday, is he going to be the MVP of the league?
Yeah.
And he didn't have a minute last night.
I would not rule that out. I mean, listen, Love obviously jumped ahead of him last night with that win, but Jaden Daniels could be a star. You're selling your Jaden Daniels stock? You just said we were talking about him as MVP of the league. That implies that there's no way he's in that caliber.
I don't know if they're going to win enough games. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, so do the Packers look like the all-out front-runner Super Bowl contender? I don't know how you want to put that. And does Jerry look even worse with every primetime game that Micah Parsons is this disruptive and this, impactful?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't help that the camera's on him the entire game. But it gets back also, Saquon Barkley left the Giants and went to the Eagles. Eagles win the Super Bowl. But the truth is, we all know Saquon Barkley would have won five games with the Giants that year. So that's what I'm saying with the Cowboys. Really, what do you have? If you kept Micah Parsons, what do you think? You were going to the Super Bowl? No way.
EJ, what's up?
Looks like the Commanders, in terms of 68 people on ESPN, no one picked them to win the Super Bowl. Three of them had them going to the Super Bowl.
Three out of 68. They have 68 people making picks over there?
They had 68 people make picks this season.
How many teams? Actually, you can look this up in the break. How many different teams were picked as Super Bowl winners?
Good question. They broke it down pretty well. So for Super Bowl pick, stand by. I'm in the AFC right now. It's a long list.
But how many winners?
68 people.
Yeah.
So they had Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, that's three. Eagles, four. Lions, five. Broncos, six. Buccaneers, seven. Packers, eight.
Buccaneer. Oh, yeah. There was a little Buccaneers energy coming into the season.
Yeah, one person picked the Buccaneers. Only one person picked the Packers. But that could have been before the Parsons trade.
Only one person picked the Packers, huh?
Yeah. This was September 7th. So it was actually after the Parsons trade, ironically.
I picked the Packers. I know you like the Packers coming in this season, too.
Yeah. I mean, I thought their defense is obviously far and away the story today. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Let's make Jerry look bad. We're getting a lot of Packers primetime, by the way.
They're one
of those teams we're going to keep seeing. All right, you're welcome to weigh in. We have lots more for you, including even more updates for you on what's going on in San Francisco. And we've got a nice little college weekend to look forward to as well. Certainly better than last week. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, Perl. Winner, winner. Maggie's buying dinner.
Oh, yeah. Breakfast on Maggie.
All thanks to Prize Picks. It was a good night for me last night, putting together some college football together with the NFL. It's one of my favorite things to do on Prize Picks. I know, Pearl, you like to get a little funkier, you know, a little baseball in with your college football and with your WNBA. Yeah. But that's what makes Prize Picks really cool. All you do is you pick two or more players across any sport, and you pick more or less on their projections. And if you're right, you win big. That's it. Simple stats, user-friendly. The app is phenomenal, and it's been our obsession so far this football season.
Yeah, it's amazing. By the way, Thursday Night Football, NC State. NC State at Wake is like the standard Thursday Night Football matchup. I used to, as I always talk about, I did a year of Thursday Night Football. We must have gone to NC State three times, but obviously Prize Picks is awesome. All transactions to the app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP. And get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get the $50 bonus credit in lineups just for
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do? Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Playing, it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Very frustrated, Mag.
Why?
Because we are doing this King of the Mountain contest to determine the greatest Super Bowl champion or best team in NFL history. Every week we pick a new team to challenge last week's winner. This week we had the 72 Dolphins, the undefeated Dolphins against the 78 Steelers. And from lore, the 78 Steelers is my favorite team on this entire list, even better than last year's Eagles team. And they're barely winning a poll that is up on X right now at Maggie and Pearl. 72 Dolphins, 49.6%. Pittsburgh Steelers, 50.4%. 53 minutes left and counting. Please go vote for my Steelers. It was 10 Hall of Famers on that team.
He's trying to sway the election.
I was going
to
say, wait a minute. We both made the case yesterday. You love the 78 Steelers.
Voter fraud.
I think the 72 Dolphins should remain King of the Mountain because these two teams basically in their same form played each other. With the Dolphins winning in 1972 in Pittsburgh, but you can't tell people to vote for who you want. You just got to lay out the case.
That team they beat in 72 was not the 78 team. They're all up and coming. Terry Bradshaw was still 24. They had never won anything up to that point. Actually, they shouldn't have even been in that game because that, you know, and we all know the Immaculate Reception touched the ground, right? That's tomorrow's poll. it's not voter fraud to campaign. I could campaign for
you just
one
said
side.
Go vote for the 78
right.
Steelers.
That's called campaigning. Yeah, like go vote for your candidate.
That was not an or else.
Trust me, this is America 2025. You want to talk about voter fraud? We could do the whole show on that. But
please
go vote for this team. That's not voter fraud. That's called campaigning. If I could go on the back end and fix these results, I would, because I really want to see the 78 Steelers advance.
Yeah. Careful with those voting machines to get everybody sued. I think that the 72 Dolphins still have a very, very good case. They should continue to be the King of the Mountain. But anyway, go vote. As Perloff said, there's less than an hour at Maggie and Pearl. EJ's pinning the poll to the top of the X feed, so it's just going to be right there. Nice and easy for you. Go vote.
You think of the great highlights from those Steelers teams. You got Lynn Swann with these acrobatic catches, John Stallworth going deep, Franco running. What is the highlight for the Dolphins? Their kicker fumbling the ball. Like, there's nothing. Like, what's the moment of the 72 Dolphins? They beat, like, there were only like eight teams in the league at that point in 72. You know, that was not nearly as impressive as people make it out.
Yeah, sure. Okay. They overcame one of the great special team blunders of all times to still win the Super Bowl. They won 11 straight with a backup quarterback. I mean, if you don't want the definition of a great full team.
That's the thing. The Steelers would have whooped Earl Morrell.
Well, he only
Earl
was
Morrell
passing
was 38 at the time.
He was only passing the ball six times a game.
Yeah, the Steelers, that's true. Maybe the Dolphins, it would have been a great game, by the way, because the Steelers defense was amazing. I mean, obviously the greatest linebacking core of all time would have shut down that run game.
So this is the current stuff we talk about right here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. 72 Dolphins, 78 Steelers. But again, go vote. We're asking you off of last night's game, which was a Green Bay Packers 27-18 win over the Washington Commanders. Do the Packers look like the front runner Super Bowl contender? Obviously, they played an extra game.
Right. They could be on this list someday. I mean, listen, I could see an argument. Oh my God, you had Micah Parsons and Edgerrin Cooper on the same defense, and you had Jordan Love and name somebody else. Josh Jacobs. I mean, there are the pieces there for them to be an all-time great Super Bowl champion. I know that sounds like complete hyperbole, but if you do a future machine, hey, there's a lot of star power in Green Bay right now.
Yeah, they were highlighting on the broadcast all the Packers quarterbacks who have won when they were 27 years old, which is what Jordan Love is now. You know, going back to
Bart Starr.
Bart Starr, and then obviously Favre and Rodgers, and now...
I believe that's pronounced Favre, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. The other thing, too, about yesterday, and I promise you, I'm not just trying to do that thing. It did cross my mind over and over again how much Jerry Jones lost this trade. Looking at Micah Parsons, and listen, Pearl, maybe you're right. Maybe Micah Parsons is on the Cowboys and it doesn't make a lick of difference. But to me, that just doesn't take Jerry off the hook on this one. And you handed it what looks like the finishing piece to a rival that's in your conference, which just twists the knife a little bit deeper. Maybe that doesn't matter. But Parsons looks motivated, rejuvenated, although I never really doubted his motivation. He's not one of those guys who loafs it. I just can't help but think that Jerry is going to be part of the story. We're going to get a lot of Packers primetime games, and it's going to continue to be a thing while Micah Parsons looks this good.
But play this out. Say he stays. Like, what difference does it make?
Well, that's on Jerry to also build the rest of the team around a superstar on defense. Like, it looks like the Packers, without even realizing it, did.
Wait. You said it's on Jerry to build the rest of the team.
He's the GM.
Yeah. Again, that's the problem. It shouldn't be on Jerry. You already lost this battle. When it's on Jerry Jones to build this Super Bowl roster, we have a problem, Maggie. It's called 30 years without getting the NFC title game. That's why.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You're welcome to weigh in. Andrew Bogish is here. Now, I know you're the newsman around here, Bogues, and I'm not trying to, you know, impede on your turf here.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have an update to a story that you brought us yesterday.
Okay.
Very important.
Is it about rack of bleep 6'9"?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's about rack of a different kind. Right. It's about Brooks Nader.
Oh, all right.
You brought us the story yesterday that she's dating Carlos Alcaraz.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Carlos. Have you seen the update from Page Six? Because Brooks Nader is a freaking legend.
I have not. That was my original source of yesterday's story, but I don't know about an update from Page Six.
Is this about the ex?
I know exactly what this is. This is the plot to a big movie with Zendaya.
Yeah, Brooks Nader, legend walking amongst us, is dating both Carlos Alcaraz and Yannick Sinner at the same time.
Oh,
the two guys played in the final.
She's pulling out Lou Will.
Man, this lady, she's immortal.
So I remember, like, from the beginning of the U.S. Open, week one, the rumors that it was Yannick Sinner because she was on somewhere being, like, coy about a tennis attraction.
Mm.
But then when I saw the Alcaraz story from the sister, I thought we just had the wrong tennis target the week before. But both of them are involved?
Yeah. No, she apparently, according to the sister who's blabbing all over the place, she was dating, can you hear the air quotes through the radio? Dating both of them same time. I mean, these guys are being in every single major final. And meanwhile, she's playing both of these dudes.
And who's winning that one?
Is
Alcaraz?
Yeah, well, ask her.
Is Sinner attractive? You're an Alcaraz.
He's a pro athlete, yeah.
I disagree.
That was not a very ringing, that wasn't a ringing endorsement.
It's, I'm sure on his own, yes. But like if you're putting him next to Alcaraz, it's a tough spot.
Okay.
It's like if I was standing next to Brooke Nader, like it's a tough place to be. You just want to back away. But the thing about her is
she
that.
She already is because of your feet.
Yeah, no one can get
there's always distance.
You can't get near me. Mm. But the you got to understand the waters you're swimming in. But this is legendary suffer from her.
Good for her.
She had a divorce, and now she's pulled every handsome guy on the planet.
Wait, she's divorced and dating. How old is this chick?
That's why I thought about the ex, because I saw a story from people.com that apparently she started dating old boy only for rent purposes.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that quote,
too. Don't hate. No judgment.
Wow.
What's her name again?
Brooks Nader.
I heard a different
you're not paying her rent.
She's my age?
I heard a whole different take on this. So you put dating in air quotes. You might not have been able to see that on the radio, meaning that it's more physical.
Yeah.
I heard that this is all just show promo. They have a reality show coming up, and she's a master manipulator. And dating might have been just like being seen in public to promote her show. That's what I heard. We're all buying into some, it's called Love Thy Nader, and it's a big reality show that they're pumping millions of dollars into.
Because there's four sisters, right?
Yeah, so she's basically just presenting this to get eyeballs for her show.
Okay.
I don't know if she actually had to go to 30 Love, as you're saying.
Well done, Pearl. Here's where I actually believe that they are dating. Have you seen these people? Like, what's standing in the way? These are all consenting adults, and they're probably some of the best-looking people walking this earth. Like, I can't believe they're hooking up.
Despite his name, looks like a choir boy. So
He's Italian, though. He's got that genesis.
But he's not really Italian.
Let's throw some French in there. He's got red hair.
Guys.
He's somewhere. His family obviously came from somewhere. He's like Swiss Alps Italian. Like, does he look Italian to you? He looks Norwegian.
That's French.
Anywho, Brooks Nader, we salute you. Or I do. Good job, lady.
Interlock your fingers,
pretty,
Brooks.
Pretty if
you
want to cool. Oh. No, we're not talking about that kind of.
Oh, Yannick.
I think it's intimacy of a different kind, seems like.
I don't know, Brooks. I don't know about Yannick, bro. That's a rough look for
Yannick. He had a fairly well-known relationship with another player.
Oh, is that
with
right?
With a woman player, yeah.
It's also funny that the sister's like, yeah, she's been dating everybody from every field and court, and then she was like, not basketball, though, and it was like, both dudes on the tennis court. She's got a type.
How about radio?
But
her billboard is actually out on Varick at Varick Streets.
Really?
I think that's as close as you're getting to Brooks Nader.
If you see this in Page Six, I feel like maybe she was sleeping with these guys, but it also we could be falling for a gigantic publicity stunt.
Well, it's not going to make me watch the show, so they don't have me either
way. Making Manny's in. We've got one person in this room.
Mm-hmm. At the very least, it's efficient because they're in the same city and probably in the same hotel. So there's not much traveling for
you're
her.
Not wrong, Oh, we got the WTA Open the ATP Open in Cincinnati. Let's go.
I got to be honest. If you're Carlos Alcaraz, I would say he's number one on the entire power rankings of planet Earth right now. Like, you want to share a girlfriend with Yannick Sinner? I feel like
I think they probably both found out about this from Page
Six.
Oh,
okay. So you don't think that Alcaraz knew?
No, she's a G. And she moves in silence like lasagna.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, Lil Wayne.
Wow.
Maggie's on one this morning.
You just said,
dude, I'm impressed.
You said there's
this lady.
A billboard in Times Square. Oh, my God. You are such a sucker.
Let's get
you
to
have, like, EJ,
all
explain
I did
how
was
reality
the
TV
story.
Works.
Oh, it's a lot of promotion. A lot of
dating behind the scenes. Yeah. Every bachelor has every bachelor, bachelorette has a high profile celebrity relationship, which 75% of the time they've never even met.
Listen, I'm no rube. I just think she actually pulled this off with these two.
You don't think Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce like each other and they're engaged now, but you're all in on Brooks Nader snagging both of these guys.
No. Yep. That's Maggie's fantasy.
And all right,
obviously, Janae. Like, this is wishful thinking.
I'm projecting.
I can't believe you read about a couple in Page Six and you believe that? That
Page
was
Six.
Written by a publicist. Ah.
She's yearning for the years of Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer.
I was more of a Sampras person.
Okay.
But that's just a little about me. Let's get to Bogus.
Wait. Your taste in men is officially off. You're into Pete Sampras. No, even Pete Sampras' wife's not into Pete Sampras.
Oh.
You got in Sampras over Agassi?
And surely they'll hold hands like pancakes.
Sampras was the most awkward sports star in the history of sports stars.
Talking about looks here, Pearl. I didn't say that I had to have a deep conversation with
him. A lot of eyebrows and chest hair, though, with Sampras.
And his hair, he's the most unstylish pro athlete probably ever. I mean, Alcaraz,
hamburger meat.
I don't start yucking y'all's yums about Anne Hathaway and whatnot. Do.
Yeah, because Anne Hathaway's model gorgeous.
Right, we make good choices. There's nothing to
like, oh.
Just because you guys aren't man enough to admit that Pete Sampras was a good-looking guy is not my problem.
I'm plenty man enough to admit anyone who's attractive, he wouldn't be my first thought from that era.
I think the men in the room have a better eye for talent than you do.
Wait, he's married to Miss Teen USA?
Sampras?
Was that who Bridget Wilson was?
Yeah.
More importantly, she's from Billy Madison. Veronica Vaughn.
Blame Wikipedia because that's what the first thing that came up. It's not me.
Such a great scene. He's like, Miss Veronica Vaughn hit that before. He's like, no, you haven't. But you can imagine what it would be like.
Also, Bridget Wilson, Mortal Kombat.
That's right.
Sure.
Right, Veronica Vaughn still wins.
What do you got?
I got headlines. Sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME.
What about Junior?
And get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Not sure why this was just a 9-point win for the Packers.
Daniels in the shotgun. 57 seconds to go. Three receivers left. Here's the snap. Jaden Daniels. Daniels being flushed. Hit. Throws it over the left side. Incomplete. Micah Parsons with the pressure.
Wayne Larrivee, Packers Radio.
Let's go!
That was Washington's last gasp on Thursday Night Football at Lambeau. The Green Bay D smothering the Commander attack, just 230 yards, only 51 of that rushing and two fourth down stops. But the final was just 27-18. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
All in all, I thought we were in control of the football game. For the majority of the game, we just got to – there was a lot of mistakes out there that we have got to clean up between penalties, some miscues, some misops.
One missed field goal, 10 penalties, maybe some missed throws from Jordan Love, but the pack is 2-0 for the first time in five seasons, and Micah Parsons is 2-for-2. He shared a sack, had three hits, and drew three penalties. Now back to the
Commanders.
They have yet to look like last season's 12-win unit, but Jaden Daniels not worried.
There's nothing to dwell about it. You know, it's early in the season. I wouldn't expect anybody in this locker room to hit a panic button. We faced a really good team, and we came up short. So we'll move on to the next game.
Daniels needed 42 throws to produce 200 yards through the air, and his offense might be without Austin Eckler long-term. The veteran running back suffered a non-contact Achilles injury last night.
You know what I found out about myself? I thoroughly enjoyed watching the Commanders get their asses kicked.
Why?
Because they just beat you?
I think so. I think because now, like, I never thought of the Commanders as being the NFC, a team to worry about in the NFC East, and now they are. Hmm. And to see them kind of get embarrassed like that on national television kind of made my heart happy.
That's funny. I'm an Eagles fan in the NFC East.
Correct.
I feel like the Commanders are like, how can you not like that team? Jaden Daniels.
Very easily. What happened in the years before Josh Harris took over.
But this is the nicest group of, like, Jaden Daniels, Austin Eckler, Terry McLaurin. Like,
oh, so you're rooting for so what you're saying is you're rooting for the division rival.
No, I can't enjoy. No, I don't. That's a team I don't think anyone except you enjoys seeing them lose, right? Like, you enjoy seeing the Cowboys lose.
I didn't find out about it until yesterday, so it's a new discovery. Mm. You'll find out in about 13 weeks. You'll see it.
You don't think that, like, even when the Eagles killed the Commanders, like, I still like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
You guys hate me for this, but you think you should hate all rivals. But you can appreciate, like, a really
cool... Oh, yeah, I can appreciate the play of Jaden Daniels. I just hope he goes 0-16 every single season, like you and the Cowboys.
Hmm.
0-17.
Manny.
What?
This is actually social media, Manny. Have you ever followed him? He is brutally mean.
This is Giants fan Manny, I think.
But I thought,
like, I know what he's talking about.
I thought that was all dead. Like, I thought you guys gave up on your football team.
Yeah, that to me is the problem here.
This is the death rattle. This is the last gasp. No, yeah, maybe I mean, not. You still have Jackson Dart starting to look forward to. You're good. You have some interesting things.
When's that going to happen, Mags?
Well, it should have happened during the first game.
I mean, we got a Bills fan sitting here who's on top of the world. We got a defending champion Eagles fan. It's got to be tough to be a Giants fan in this room.
Go next. The Seattle Mariners have caught the Astros atop the AL West.
The pitch to Ford. Swung on, popped up. Is this deep enough? To right field. Lugo backs up. He makes the catch. Polanco tagging. Here comes the throw. Polanco steaming home. He slides. He's safe! And the Mariners win! Sir Harry Ford walks it off with a sacrifice fly. And for the second night in a row, it's extra inning magic.
It's also six straight wins overall. This one 7-6 in 12 over the Angels. The Astros had lost in the afternoon in Toronto. And that's why these two are tied for that division lead this morning.
Thanks for nothing, Houston.
And Paige Bueckers finished her first WNBA season with 24 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Her wings down the Mercury, 97-76. No playoffs for them. Bueckers ends up with the third most points, second most assists by a rookie in league history. Guys, back to you.
It's actually a sneaky, fun nickname for Ford. They call him Sir Harry Ford. Harry. Sir Harry Ford, because both of his parents were born in Britain. So he can play for the Great Britain baseball team in the World Baseball Classic.
Bro's from Atlanta, though.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but like that's a sneaky fun nickname. Bogus, thank you. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, so is Micah Parsons making Jerry Jones look even worse? One question for you. Also, are the Packers looking like the front runner Super Bowl contender? We have an update for you from San Francisco. It's Maggie Perloff.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. EJ, can we throw up another poll right now? You can still vote Maggie Perloff, King of the Mountain. Who deserves to continue on as the King of the Mountain as we search for the greatest NFL team of all time? Is it the 1972 Miami Dolphins or the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers? That's this week's matchup. Whoever wins gets to be top of the mountain, King of the Mountain, and then we go have them go up against another team next week. So it's going to go on all season long. You only have a few more minutes to vote, so go to Maggie and Pearl on X.
And vote for the 78 Steelers. And that is not voter fraud. That's called campaigning for my team.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's get to the 49ers quickly, because we got a bit of an update yesterday on what could be a very lengthy injury for Brock Purdy. We thought maybe a week or two, Pearl, with the turf toe. And
or
the
even, we thought he might even play this week.
Or maybe he plays this week, the non-throwing shoulder is the other injury. But now, according to Ian Rappaport and others, this is looking like it could be the next 5 weeks. Is it possible that the 49ers are out of it before Brock Purdy can come back?
I personally don't think so. I have seen other people say that. Their schedule's so easy, and I don't think that changes so much. The problem is a lot's on Mac Jones, but everybody else is hurt too. So I am preemptively putting out there defending my guy Mac Jones. He has no one to throw to, so he's probably going to look bad this week. But he plays New Orleans, who appears to be tanking. So they could trip into a 500 record until Brock Purdy gets back. So when you say out of it, like if you're 500 by week six, how is that out of it?
Well, are they going to be 500 is a great question. Because the other thing about San Francisco and the way that this season hopefully is not trending for them, but you got the early returns aren't great, is that is Brock Purdy going to be the only person you lose? So you're at New Orleans. Let's just play out the next 5 weeks. You're at New Orleans, home Arizona, home Jacksonville, at the Rams on a short week, at Tampa Bay. You know, if you win two of those games, if you win one of them, I mean, I don't know if they're just going to win one, but this is, yes, it's like an air quotes easy schedule, but there's a couple really good defenses that you have to face.
You're getting
in this stretch.
Arizona did not look good in week one, and they're going to San Francisco and Jacksonville. That's a long flight for those Jags.
It's true.
If you can't beat Jacksonville at home, then you're probably not a playoff team.
But then you have to go to Tampa, so then you have to go cross country, and that's a 1 o'clock game. So evens out.
Those are hard games. Those are playoff teams, the Rams and the Bucks. But then you host Atlanta. That's another long trip. At Houston, we don't know what Houston is. At the Giants. The Giants might be bad. So we've been talking all year about this easy schedule. It's a fact. Here's the other thing, too. You said the early returns were bad. I assume you're talking about health. Because you could look at that first game and say, that was ugly. But the defense, all of a sudden, boom, back. Robert Saleh, making the highest paid defensive coordinator, immediately paid off. They stopped the run in a very, very surprising way against Seattle. They're going to run into New Orleans. It's going to try and do the same thing. Maybe you say, okay, this is going to be a defense year. Can you buy that?
Sure, but it's funny. Before the Sam Darnold sack fumble at the end of the game, they got into the red zone, and Seattle moved into the red zone with ease on that final drive. Now, credit to San Francisco.
They made one big play.
They came, but Sam Darnold, the JSN. I mean,
that
everyone
was one
in the
play.
World knew that was the only place they could go. Seattle only has one receiver, basically.
I would say it took 60 minutes for them to uncork any play of any significance.
Well, week one opener, all you can do is try to survive generally. And to be fair, the 49ers did. But again, before that sack fumble, which Darnold's own offensive lineman got blocked back into him and helped cause that, I was surprised that Sam Darnold put them in position for a game-winning field goal at least. Easily.
I'll tell you this about
that. No, sorry, couldn't have been a field goal. It had to be a touchdown, 17-13.
I will make a prediction. By week six, they are the number one defense in the NFL. And defense, when you say the number one defense, that means allowing the least yards. And they only let up 230 to Seattle, which is nothing. I think they're, and listen, it's a bit of a cheat code because you're facing some pretty bad offenses. At least offenses that have not looked good so far. So I think they have a great chance to be a dominant defense. Remember, this core unit was number one for a long time. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner leading the way. Like, they could be elite enough to at least keep the team hovering around 500, and that means you're still in it.
888-710-4ISN. All right, quickly, our pal Big Friendly. Friendly, we only got a minute, sir. You want to call me out for something. What's up?
No, Magsy. I deserve more than a minute. So can you please put me back on hold?
No, Friendly, we love you, but you're not a producer on the show. What do you got?
I know, but Magsy, Monday, you got to come to work with your face painted. I've waited 279 days. It'll be 281. So I'm calling all the people on the staff to please remind Magsy she needs to be on Monday morning with her face blue and gold.
Oh,
I've been patient.
Big Friendly, I got to do that Monday.
You can't do it on a Monday.
Can I do it on Tuesday?
Can you do it? Like, that has to be a Friday. Nobody face paints early in the week. It's too early.
I've waited 281 days on Monday, Daddy Cool.
Daddy, you can wait 287 days.
85, 87.
Okay. If you, Magsy Malone, if you will do it next Friday, I will wait till next Friday.
You're a gem. You're a peach, Big Friendly. Thank you for being so flexible. All right, I'm painting my face next week. And I do have the Rams necklace. I don't have the jersey, but I have the necklace. I'll see if I can grab a jersey on Amazon this week. Big Friendly, thank you, sir. Have a great weekend, pal. What's the Rams jersey I should get?
Davante Adams.
No, yeah, you need a random jersey.
Davante Adams, he got there 5 seconds ago.
I know, that's kind of why. It's got to be like a weird jersey.
Andrew Whitworth.
Maybe go old school. Like
that's what I was
Vince thinking. Ferragamo. Like old LA Rams.
Big Friendly, you think he knows Vince Ferragamo?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I
He's
think so.
He's a diehard fan.
Huh. I don't know. The Rams are kind of a new team in LA, back in LA. Do you think he goes back to the 70s and 80s?
There are some, I don't know. There's lore. I think that's a great face painting.
Todd Gurley.
Blue and yellow would be sweet. Like, that's fun.
It's not good for my skin, but I'll do it because I'm a woman of my word.
Drink water.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.